Hey, good morning and warm welcome to all our listeners to today's radio show. Policy Monitoring and Research Center, as usual, every Thursday at 9:15, we get to talk to you on different issues and, of course, featuring people that are experts in those particular fields. My name is Kachana Sinyani, to be with you until 09:40 this morning. And I have in the studio head of research and analysis, Mr. Salim Kaunda. The government of the Republic of Zambia developed a decentralization policy not so long ago, and perhaps we all have been wondering why Zambia has taken quite long to fully decentralize. Now, on the policy corner today with me, I have PMRC, and we have the head of research and analysis, Mr. Salim Kaunda, who will share with us some insights on decentralization. Mr. Kaunda, good morning.
Good morning, Kachana, and good morning, the listeners.
Welcome to the show and welcome to Radio 4.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, now to begin with, can you define for us in simple terms and our dear listeners out there what decentralization is?
All right, thank you so much. I'm sure everyone out here is familiar with decentralization. So when you talk about centralization, basically we're talking about restructuring or organizing authority so that there's a system of co-responsibility between institutions of governance at the central, regional, and the local levels of government. And basically, in a nutshell, I think decentralization is basically the act of distributing power and authority to the lower levels of government. So in this case, we mean the periphery, as well as maybe the councils and all other lower levels of government. And also, maybe in line with that, the common names of decentralization, I think you could pick three of them. Number one, to enhance efficiency and accountability. Number two, increased community participation. And number three, improved service delivery at lower implementation level. So that's basically about it.
All right. So in case you're just joining in, you have actually come on board at the right time. I have with me Mr. Kaunda, who is head of research and analysis from PMRC. And indeed, we are looking at it, and he's going to be shedding more light, on the, government's, policy on, decentralization policy not so long ago that was actually, put on the table. But probably most of us have been wondering about why Zambia has taken so long to actually fully decentralize. And, of course, you've touched a bit on some of the main aims of decentralization. Apart from what you've talked about, are there any other that happen to be some of the main aims of this decentralization?
Well, basically, I think the most important is the issue of improved service delivery, because if we understand, let's say here Zambia is a unitary state, so everything happens at the center, which is here in Lusaka. So if we're looking at people in the periphery, in the provinces out there, how easy is it for them to actually access some of these government services? So the aim of centralization is to ensure that those services are actually taken closer to them, and then they can also interact with their leaders at that level. So basically, I think the most important one is improved service delivery, to ensure that services can reach all the corners of Zambia as well. But one unique thing also I think I can mention is that people must understand that Zambia still remains a unitary state. It's not going to be an ideal federal state, let's say in the case of Nigeria or America, which has governors and whatnot. So it's quite a unique one for Zambia, and I'm sure as we go along, I can shed more light on that one.
All right, just before we can leave that part of, what some of the main aims of decentralization. Now, as PMRC, have you got any deliberate program that you've put in place just to make sure that, this improvement delivery of service is actually taken closer to the people, as you have said, is one of the main aims?
All right, great. So as PMRC, actually, we've been quite vocal around decentralization. So to that aim, we produced a policy analysis where we try to explain in totality what is decentralization, how has it been in the past, what does the policy state, what have other countries done, and also what can Zambia do to probably, speed up the aspect of centralization. So we've massively distributed that publication, and I think forums such as this one, where we talk to the listeners out there and educate the people, is also another avenue where we're actually sharing knowledge with the public so that they're able to understand what centralization is all about, and also challenge the government authorities themselves to actually expedite this decision, because I think it's been there for quite some time and everyone is waiting, when will Zambia fully decentralize, or what is it that we're going to see for us to say Zambia is actually fully decentralized.
That's right. All right, now coming to our main topic today, fiscal decentralization. Mm. Would you just define it for us?
Interesting. So as the name suggests, fiscal centralization, this is basically a form of centralization that relates to power sharing for decisions relating to fiscal or financial resources and revenue generating powers. So in short, we're saying government here in the central government actually gives authority or power to the periphery to actually, you know, handle finances. For example, if government sends money directly from Lusaka, let's say, to maybe Mamba, when we talk of fiscal centralization, then we mean that the authorities in Mamba there will be given the money now by the government to ensure that they, you know, they go ahead with all those services and programs that government should have done centrally here from Lusaka. So we're trying to equip as many people as possible in the periphery, in the lower levels of government, to be able to handle finances or to be able to manage funds and maybe even have the capacity to, you know, to issue some of these taxes and levies so that they can also generate income for the particular localities as well. So in a nutshell, that's what we're talking about. And interestingly, Zambia so has chosen to decentralize by devolution, which basically means the transfer of some powers and authority and functions and resources by legal and constitutional provision. So like I mentioned, it's not going to be a federal state or something like that. It's still a unitary state, but just wants to devolve so that some functions are transferred from the center, which is in this case here in Lusaka, the capital city, to the periphery as well, to the lower levels of government. So that's basically in a nutshell what fiscal centralization is all about.
When you say unitary, what exactly is it that
so
you're
unitary
talking about?
State
in a layman's language for the sake of another person that might really want to get it down and
definitely
understand. Yeah,
okay, so let's compare Zambia to Nigeria.
Mm-hmm.
So for Nigeria, it's centralized, it's a federal state, and America is a federal state.
That's
so each
right.
state is governed by a governor, and they can even have their own laws. So in short, for Zambia, we're not a federal state, we're a unitary state, meaning the whole of Zambia is still intact in totality. The provinces are not separate in terms of rules and regulations. They're all governed by the center.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the simplest form I can talk about is that unitary, it's a unit, it's one. It's not broken into states.
All right.
Whereas, for example, America and Nigeria, it's different. They have states and they have governors to look after those states. So that's the difference.
All right, thank you so much. I still have Mr. Salim Kaunda from PMRC. He is head of research and analysis, and of course you are looking at the, you know, the government or the Republic of Zambia's decentralization policy that was actually developed not too long ago, and just to shed a bit of light on how, what certain questions that we might have, why Zambia has taken long to fully decentralize. And today on the Policy Corner, we are talking to Mr. Kaunda, and we are indeed focusing our attention on, you know, the main thing, fiscal decentralization. He has just given us, an insight on, what fiscal policies, fiscal decentralization is all about. And, of course, he's touched a bit also on the Zambian form of decentralization. Now, we know that Zambia has a decentralization policy that was formulated some time, back. To this effect, can you provide a brief insight into the objectives of this decentralization policy?
All right, very interesting question indeed.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting to note that, yes, Zambia has a decentralization policy, and I think the issue has been the implementation, because everyone knows that government has stated clearly that it wants to decentralize, and to that effect, a policy was actually implemented some time back. So just briefly, what we can share about the centralization policy is that, of course, it was founded on the vision of having a decentralized system of government within a unitary state of Zambia, which I mentioned. So Zambia will still maintain its unitary form, but with a bit of devolution.
Okay.
And then also, of course, this is in line with the national development plans and the overall agenda of the Vision 2030, where we want the whole of Zambia to have access to services and programs without any difficulty whatsoever. So that's the aim of centralization. And also, I think the goal of centralizing Zambia's administrative systems originates from the need for community participation in fostering effective implementation of significant development programs. So we're trying to empower the citizens to offer checks and balances to the government authorities, since they will be closer to them when we decentralize. Unlike everything coming to Lusaka for this issue, for that permit. So we want to bring, in fact, government wants to actually eliminate that. No wonder it wants to take the services closer to the people. So that's why the policy was actually formulated. And also it's important to note that the policy is a guide to the transference of authority, functions and responsibilities to the lower levels of governance, like I mentioned. And also, I think I can also mention that the policy is expected to promote people's participation in democratic governance at the local level. And then lastly, I think what we know about the decentralization policy is that it's important to note that not all functions would be transferred to the lower levels of governance, like I mentioned, and the central government shall retain some of those core functions over essential national matters. So that's the key as well. So it's not everything that will be taken to lower levels of government, and all that is specified in the details of the decentralization policy itself.
All right. Now, just for another additional piece of information for myself and our listeners, obviously, is this policy going to also promote participation of, for example, chiefs and other traditional leaders in
yes.
governance, and, of course, preservation of culture and heritage, while as respecting cultural diversity? Is that going to work like that?
That's very true. That's very true. So I think yesterday we heard that the 7th National Development Plan has actually now been launched.
Yes.
So if you look at what I mentioned, it said it's in alignment with the National Development Plan. So mm-hmm. meaning now, between 2017 and 2021, Zambia will be guided by the 7th National Development Plan, which means now the decentralization policy has to fit into that to guide the overall agenda of the nation. And basically it means that, and we know that from the SNDP, that traditional leaders are actually, you know, privileged to head those particular chiefdoms, and as a result there is a component that they have to play, especially that information flows through them and their headmen mm-hmm. and the rest of the people in the rural areas. So they have a very particular and important role, and definitely this policy includes the traditional setup as well.
All right, it is 09:29. We have 11 minutes on our side before we can call it a day, but we are still talking about the decentralization policy that was currently approved by the government. And of course we heard that cabinet actually approved the new national decentralization policy during its meeting held in February this year. And I'm talking to Mr. Salim Kaunda, who is sharing with us some insights on decentralization, and he is head of research and analysis at PMRC. Now, having said what you have just said, and you have given us a brief, background and everything about decentralization, what can you then say has been hindering Zambia to fully decentralize?
That's the question everyone asks. I think we've also been asked that question.
Mm-hmm.
And I think from our analysis, we understand that, of course, the policy is there, the implementation plan is there. So meaning it's the execution part that has actually been a problem. Further, there is a question of whether the decentralization policy itself has been widely distributed. Is there buy-in from the citizenry? Do the people who have to actually perform these new roles know what they're supposed to do? Are they equipped financially? Are they equipped with resources? Have we come up with a vision? So I think in Zambia we noticed that of late we've seen the creation of new districts, new provinces. So that also is just one step towards centralizing Zambia. Where, for example, let me give an example of Southern Province.
Mm-hmm.
So we know that the capital of Southern Province was actually Livingstone. And so it was hard for some people, let's say in Mazabuka, to actually go out all the way to Livingstone to get, you know, some of those permits and what. And that's why it was moved to Choma from Livingstone. So that also is a minimal component of centralization to ensure that, you know, people can actually have those services. So the issue of institutional strengthening is definitely key. Because what you're talking about is that new functions are going to be given to the people at the lower levels of government, from the provincial level, district, way down until the councils. So if you look at institutional strengthening, the question we ask is that, are they empowered mm-hmm. to actually undertake these new roles? Do they have capacity, human resources, finances as well? So if that component is lacking, no matter what functions government takes to them, then it would be hard, because they do not have perhaps that understanding from the police itself on what should be done. So we feel that can actually also, or that has actually been one of the hindrances. And if you look at the issues of capacity issues as well, we know that they need to be addressed. Let me give an example of the councils. If you look at the councils in Zambia today, we know that they are facing challenges in terms of, you know, raising funds, in terms of service delivery. And I think even something that has happened in Lusaka, where we know that, for example, parking, which was done by the council, is now being done by an independent company, I think. So how are we empowering councils that way if they're supposed to be in charge of the levies for parking in the central business district? And then if we go to perhaps give another company to do that, then we're not really empowering the local councils. That's an example for the councils, but basically the same applies to many of the lower levels of government. The issue has been implementation. And the sooner government publicizes the correct plan of what centralization is, set up an M&D mechanism. In short, we're saying, what are the key performance indicators? What should we see as Zambians for us to know that we are now on the right path to decentralization? Is it just going to end on creating new districts? Is it just going to end on giving people new functions and roles? What targets have been there for them? So we feel that's the component, I think, in a nutshell, that needs to be addressed if we need to be successful with centralization. Also, from the citizens' part, do they know about it? Do they know what they have to do in terms of offering proper checks and balances to the authorities? So I think it's a 50-50, and we believe that both sides need to play a critical role for us to ensure that centralization is a reality in Zambia. Because it's been talked about, I think, for a long number of years, and mm-hmm. we're waiting to see when are we going to fully decentralize. So some of these issues are what we identified, you know, issues of institutional strengthening, capacity, you know, issue of resources. Mm-hmm. Are they well equipped to be able to take up that those new roles, and also publicity and buy-in, I mean, from the public and all other lower levels of government. So those are some of the things I think that we came up with as PMRC.
All right. Now, after, you know, looking at the approval of this national decentralization policy, just a quick one, you know, are all functions going to be transferred to councils, or is the central government still going to retain some of the core functions over essential national matters?
All right. Definitely the central government will not surrender all the, mm-hmm. the functions to the lower levels of government. So those key essential to national government, they will actually be retained by the central government, in this case here in Lusaka. Mm-hmm. And then maybe through local government, councils will be given some powers. The provincial administration also, let's say the southern provincial administration in Choma, will be given some powers now to undertake some of the services that were directly being undertaken by the central government, let's say here in Lusaka.
All right.
So all provincial administration now, they'll have new roles. The district administration, way down until the councils, which are closest to the people, there will be new functions. So you can see that it's a spiral effect where each and every of those levels needs to understand what their new roles entail, mm-hmm. and how they should be prepared for that. What capacities do they need? Mm-hmm. You know, from the government side, do they have the capacity? For example, if we say, let the provincial administration in Mungu or in Western Province start administering taxes and levies, do they have the capacity mm-hmm. to actually go around Western Province, you know, and administer taxes that way? So that's some of the things that we should look at in terms of capacities.
If we
deal with that, then now we can say, now you're ready to take up these functions, go ahead and then, you know, offer services to the people directly.
All right, so in other words, the central government shall also continue to build capacity in councils for them to improve performance, as you said earlier, of such core functions such as planning, budgeting, personnel, and maybe financial management.
That's true.
All right, and we're still talking to Mr. Kaunda. We have 4 minutes remaining before we actually come to a conclusion. How has been the response? As of course, I'm sure you're one of the stakeholders that's working with government in the implementation of this decentralization mm-hmm. policy as PMRC. Mm-hmm. What other, you know, stakeholders have taken keen interest in the implementation of this policy to just make sure that idea of, you know, mm-hmm. ensuring that benefits of government programs accrue to citizens regardless of political affiliation, mm-hmm. cultural and economic status, or indeed gender, are actually taken closest to the people. What other, you know, stakeholders have come on board to help government to just make this thing a workable arrangement?
Okay. Great. So actually, I think a multitude of stakeholders are in support of the fact that Zambia needs to decentralize for it to actually promote service delivery to the people. So I think you notice that different stakeholders who have a particular focus in terms of what it means to them. So that's why I mentioned that we need to own it in harmonization. If there isn't harmonization, then we'll be working in isolation, where a group will say centralization according to us means more districts.
Mm-hmm.
Another group will say, no, for us it means more powers to the council or more powers to the provincial and the district. So if we don't have that, you know, common theme of centralization, it will be hard. But what we can say is that there's been support from the government side, and that's why the policy was implemented. That's why, you know, steps are being made here and there. So I think it's just not coordinated, and we feel that a lot needs to be done in terms of buy-in people need to understand, especially those people who will be executing the particular tasks. If they do not have that understanding, it will be quite hard for them. So that's why I think we feel there is support on the government side, but more definitely needs to be done to ensure that it's a reality.
All right. Yeah. Lastly, as we come to the end of our show, Mr. Kaunda, what are some of the things that policymakers should take note of when it comes to decentralization?
Okay, so here's, I think, what do they need to look into? Definitely, policymakers should be careful with some of the decisions. And I think what we're saying with as PMRs is that, you know, financial decentralization should not be used as a means for national governments to shift the burden of financing services to sub-national levels or private providers. So here what we mean is that if central government here in Lusaka has the obligation of delivering services, let's say, to Mongo, that still remains its function. So it should not shift that burden to say, Mongo provincial administration, you're now in charge of maybe social cash transfer within. It would be hard for them because maybe they would not have the finances. So central government should always know those critical roles that cannot be transferable and only give those that need to be, you know, that can be managed at the lower levels. Mm-hmm. And also, I think, of course, fiscal centralization requires citizen participation since resource allocations should reflect local preferences. So the citizens should constantly be engaged so that they own the development. What is it that they want? What forms of services do they need from the government? So government should have a back and forth with the government. And also, I think the challenge then is to overcome the technical complexity of the process and find appropriate ways to institutionalize participation. And then I think, in the interest of time, I think the last one I can mention is, you know, the issues of strengthening accountability mechanisms to prevent misappropriation of funds. Because if government is going to give power to the provincial, district, and local councils, mm-hmm. you know, to manage finances, we've seen from the Auditor General's report that there's issues of financial misappropriation, misapplication. So all those measures need to be put in place to ensure that no loopholes are actually still open. Because if we open up, let's say, every provincial administration or district administration has the capacity to handle finances now and distribute as they please, then we're going to see a lot of, you know, misapplication of funds. This is the reality that we've seen with the Auditor General. So that's another critical issue that we feel should be looked into, especially if we are to promote fiscal decentralization. You know, money matters need to have, you know, an enforced public financial management mechanism to ensure that there are no loopholes and money is not being misappropriated. Instead, it's going straight for delivery. So I think these are, in a nutshell, some of the points that we definitely had in terms of policymakers and what they should look out for.
Well, quite an insightful program it has been. Now, we indeed have been talking to Mr. Salim Kaunda, Head of Research and Analysis from Policy Monitoring and Research Center, found in Kabalonga, Lusaka, Zambia, plot number 36C, Sabo Road. We have been talking about decentralization, and of course, as you may have in mind, as a citizen of this nation, the government of the Republic of Zambia developed a decentralization policy not too long ago, and perhaps we all have been wondering why Zambia has taken long to fully decentralize. And on the policy corner today, I had with me PMRC, and Mr. you know, Kaunda has just given us a whole lot of information on this issue. We focused our attention on fiscal decentralization, and of course, he gave us a definition of what it's all about, you know, explained to us the ambient form of decentralization, and we also went into, you know, some of the, you know, the things that are hindering, that could be hindering Zambia, you know, to fully just decentralize. And lastly, we talked about some of the things that the policy makers should take note of when it comes to decentralization. Well, sir, I would like to greatly appreciate you for coming through on the program today.
Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
All right. You're welcome. And my name is Kachana Sinyani. We will meet again next week on Thursday at the same time, as we will be tackling another topic. For today, we are done. Thank you so much, our dear listeners, for listening in.